What are we talking about today?
All the noise Fort Max is making.
Are you jogging over there? What is that?
Superhero time!
Okay, you're listening to Superhero Time. Today is Tuesday, March 30th, 2010. I'm XV, and with me this week, as usual, I have Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hello.
And everybody's favorite mortician, Hey Mickey.
Yo-ho.
Well, okay, let's start with the oldest stuff first. Some new Ghost Ager pictures showing off a couple of new header sets.
Yes.
We had mentioned previously the exotic header set, which is just four recolors of the existing dragon header. There's also small pictures of the Skyic Gosei Great header set.
Our first shot of them in action, really.
Yeah, Mickey, what was the comment you made about it a few minutes ago?
Oh, I think the set looks great because it looks like he's wearing a bird's butt as a hat, and he's got two chicken heads on each of his shoulders.
Yeah, that was the one.
If you look, it's like tail feathers sticking out of his head, and then he's got the two bird heads on his shoulders.
It's
great.
Actually, isn't one of the heads a pterodactyl head?
Yes.
Well, the picture's small. I mean, it's almost as great as the pirate fish hat.
Almost.
Not quite as great, though.
No, it's not better than. It's pretty good, though, to wear a bird's ass on your head.
And then there's the Bullet Bill header, also known as the Hyper Change header, which lets Data's Hyper grow up.
Which is something we've all wanted to see, of course.
I guarantee you Nozomo has the card for the Bullet header.
Well, you know, that's going to be Nozomu's mecha.
Yeah.
Which you'll pilot, you know, unmorphed. I mean, won't that just be fantastic?
He'll become Gosei Mary Sue.
Sure, what the heck. You know,
it's not like piloting the mecha unmorphed is anything new.
Yeah, but they usually say that for the last episode of the series, though. It'd be strange to have it so early on.
Yeah. Well, Bri piloted the Dragonzord in the cockpit, but that was his last episodes, I think.
Yeah, just before he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, if piloting Data's Hyper unmorphed meant Nozomu was about to die, I'm sure some people would be very much behind that idea. Just a guess, though.
Well, your guess is pretty accurate.
Well, and your guess is as good as mine.
I don't know if it's intentional or not, but for some reason, the exotic header set is the exact same colors as the auxiliary mecha from Abba Ranger.
It's probably... Well, I guess it could be a nod toward that.
Although, maybe they just want to choose colors that aren't Rangers.
Which is another good option. Although I'm still waiting for the day there's a real Orange Ranger.
We had a real Orange Ranger in SPD.
Boom doesn't count.
Sure he does. Boom counts for everything.
Unfortunately, that was a dream.
Dreams count. Dreams are real.
You know, the headers are one of the less intrusive line-wide gimmicks in the Sentai series. However, I'm still thinking that they're kind of...
less interesting as well?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's the trade-off, I think.
Though at least the ones that are sold in the headers as the header sets do something.
That's true. I mean, they definitely do more than the stupid discs did.
Yeah.
Or even the souls.
At least those had, you know, sounds.
Yeah, I'm the... Headers
so they did
sold,
something different.
Yeah, I mean, the header sets have, like, gear gimmicks or spring gimmicks or do have some action feature of some sort.
I'm waiting for the one that will make cheese for me.
But will it make cheese pre-folded up into lots of little squares?
Huh?
No, the cheese that comes in cans. You'd open up the header's mouth and squirt cheese out of it.
You know, I could actually see them making something like that.
Japan has made Stranger Food-related items.
Gundam sausage.
Sailor Moon soup.
Beast Wars second sausage.
What did they make that sausage out of?
If you have to ask, you don't want to know.
I mean, Japan's known for eating exotic foods to begin with, and if you're basing something off of beasts, then I'd be kind of scared.
Possibly so, yes. I mean, it's probably like Taco Bell, where you just don't want to know what's going on in the kitchen.
If you're in Japan and you see a sausage that's got a picture of Rat Trap on it, do you want to guess what kind of meat that matter of?
Score.
You can't
see how
that's
different from regular sausage. How?
1 point taken.
Okay. Now you've made me forget what our next topic was.
Breakfast.
Okay. No, not breakfast. We got in some new information about the next Masked Rider series after Double. Right now, the rumored name is Masked Rider Regulus. Regulus being one of the brightest stars in the Leo constellation. Much like Ryuki several years ago, it's expected that there would be a total of 13 riders, one for every constellation. I guess in that case, if they ever wanted to try adapting another Masked Rider series for the U.S., that would be a good one to pick because there's lots of things to make toys of that nobody will ever buy.
Right.
Or even bother advertising.
It gives them more options of stuff to put out shelf form.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yes, I was paraphrasing.
Way to recycle my jokes 30 seconds later.
A recycled joke is better than a dumb joke.
Well, we've had both already, so I'd say we're hitting all the marks already. We're doing very well tonight.
Yeah, for us. If Regulus is, like they say, a star in Leo, does that mean the main character will be lion-based?
Well, that's the speculation.
It's the same kind of speculation for Gosei Knight right now.
Except we already have seen pictures, and his suit is lion-themed.
No, I think he means that it'll be he'll come from space from.
Oh.
Leo. Because there's a space theme in Ghost Sager as well.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, well, more.
Speaking of Ghost Sager.
No, not yet.
Oh.
We have one more important news item right now.
Yeah, a little more current, which is information about the Shinkanger sequel special.
Yes, the expertly titled Return of the Samurai Sentai Shinkanger.
Return for all of, like, probably 25 minutes.
25 minutes with Shinkanger is worth it.
Well, it's 25 more minutes than Gohanger got.
You're trying to hurt my feelings intentionally, aren't you?
Makes for good listening.
Where's my liquor at?
It's the same
you
reason.
You drank it.
It's the same reason I went out of my way to mention your profession, even though you said not to.
Yeah.
Just the way I roll. Let's see. To sum this up, the Shinkangers are trapped in an illusion by a Gedoshu and transported through different illusion dimensions, including samurai, western detective, high school, idol, jungle, space, and various others. Which sounds like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Someone
has already speculated that detective automatically means doubles world, but I don't see that happening.
Well, Doubtful. You know, we are supposed to get a crossover between Sentai and Masked Rider again this summer. But yes, it's more likely that it would be a Ghost Sager double crossover rather than Shinkanger again crossing over with Masked Rider.
So, assuming this is going to be 25 minutes like the last one was, they're going to be jumping through these worlds pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it ends up being longer since it is just a direct-to-video special.
Right.
But yeah, depending which character they pick for what, the idol world should be very amusing.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Are they going to have to fight Simon Cowell or something?
I guess it could be in the vein of Futic Idol.
Well, pop idols are like a big thing in Japan, right?
Right.
So, we'll be follow that vein.
You know what it sounds like from the description?
What's it sound like from the description?
Did anyone else see that episode of Time Force where they fought that movie monster who sent them into different films?
Actually, that was the first thing I thought of when I read this.
Yeah. And that was a pretty awesome setup, so...
Especially since it led to the Transwarp Megazord punching itself back in time.
Yes.
Of course, they kind of shot themselves in the foot over that whole movie madness thing. Since being that it was a series already about time travel, they could have actually used the time travel gimmick for that instead of just, you know, movie worlds.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't so much movie worlds as much as he was writing the script, which controlled what the swords did.
That's hardly the point, though. They could have used time travel, but they didn't.
Time Force didn't do a lot of time travel, from what I remember.
No, they really didn't.
Though that's more to blame on Time Ranger.
Right.
Right, but you know, when you're making new footage stuff of different period settings, you know, you might as
they
well
should
just
have,
go
they
ahead.
They should have wrote episodes about time travel if they're going to be doing a Wild West show. Or, you know, a movie show, I mean.
I mean, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers did more time travel than Time Force did.
Yeah, speaking
including
of which,
going to the Wild
episodes.
West.
I hated the Wild West episodes of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, those were idiotic.
I didn't say it was good, I just said they did it.
I just want to get it out there that I hate the Wild West and I hated those episodes, so. They were awful.
Okay.
It's a sore spot with me, I'm sorry.
All right, do we have anything else in the news this week?
There was this new Cyclone Joker Extreme pictures.
Yeah, there were, weren't there? It's Cyclone, it's Joker,
and apparently,
it's
yes,
Extreme.
And apparently, yes, you can do Your Mom Joker.
With the frog pod.
Yes.
Which HLJ amusingly sells as the flog pod.
I flogged your mom.
Go Japan.
I don't really understand Extreme's weapon, but it looks pretty awesome, shooting out rainbows out of it in all directions.
Well, it is the prism something or other.
Yeah, no, is it like a blaster of some kind, or is it
a
mirror?
Shield.
Or?
It's a shield.
Okay.
That shoots rainbows. I mean, seriously, just try saying that without cracking up. It's a shield that shoots rainbows.
I can't even listen to it without cracking up.
Well, we've already had drag, but we might as well put rainbows in the show now, too.
What the heck?
Joy.
No, what it is, it uses four of the Gaia memories and apparently shoots out, you know, color-coded energy beams based on the memories that are inserted. There's also a sword.
Well, I understand the sword. The sword makes sense.
Yes.
I'm sure they can find a way to make a sword not make sense. You know, if you give them the inclination to. Right now, we're just stuck with the shield not making a lot of sense.
Well, you know, XL's sword doesn't make a lot of sense.
Why not? It's a gun.
Well, yeah, it is a gun, but...
It's also a sword.
Yes, and I'm not seeing the problem. Problem?
I don't know. I just...
Well, then why'd you even bring it up?
I don't know. I didn't really think of where I was going with it. I'm sorry.
This is why I set out to make you cry.
Well, you should have had show notes for us.
Like, I want to be bothered making show notes. There's not even anything to make show notes about. We got three or four items, show talk, and then more show talk. And that's the show. Because I haven't said show enough yet.
Sure,
so you're joking.
make you cry. Okay, speaking of the shows.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go ahead and hit Masked Rider Double since it's a week old already. Actually, 2 weeks old if you count the Raw. Mickey?
This was the conclusion to the Doll Saga, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Kind of a weak ending, actually, I thought.
Yeah, weak and weird.
The first episode was really well done. The doll was creepy, and it was a fun episode. But the second one just kind of sort of petered out, I thought.
Well, and the resolution was kind of bizarre, too.
Yeah.
In a way, not consistent with the bizarre of the first part of the story.
It just kind of felt like they had a great idea for a first episode and didn't really have a good idea of how to do something interesting with the end to it.
They could have just blown the doll up. That would have worked.
Yeah, it just... It wasn't nearly as creative as I'm used to Double being.
There was another thing that happened in the episode that isn't really making a lot of sense for me. The puppeteer, Dupont, takes control of Clay Doll, Wakana, and sends her to the detective agency to try to kill Akiko. In the process, she ends up busting into the secret room, still under control. But then the control gets broken and she just goes wandering out, fully aware of what's going on again. Doesn't it seem like something more should have happened? For that matter, how did she get out of there? She didn't go back up the stairs.
Well, that wasn't handled terribly well, was it, I guess? I kind of glossed
over
that.
No, it really wasn't. You know, the preview set up with her busting into the secret room and, you know, made it look like somebody's discovered what's going on there. But no, yeah. It's all just a coincidence, and then when it's time for her to leave, well, I guess a wizard did it.
I guess you could argue that she was confused when she woke out of it and just wanted to get out of wherever she was, but I mean, that's just kind of lame storytelling there. It would have been more interesting if something actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a hole. A plot hole, you might say.
It's an explainable hole, but it's just lame, boring.
How did she get out of there?
Well, I guess she could have gone out the garage.
There must be a back door.
Well, yeah, they drive the vehicle out, remember?
I think she went in the opposite direction of that, though.
Well, then...
Besides what, does she have a garage door opener?
Maybe Philip let her out.
And yes, I realize that the resolution of the episode was the doll talking to everybody for real. But this is still the part that I take exception with. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then,
not the best episode, but we'll have a new episode soon to like, so.
Well, yes, I'm sure it will be conveniently released tomorrow.
No, it's
just in time for
us
to not be able
10.
To record about it on time.
Yeah.
Hopefully stuff is just coming out a little late because they're also spending time working on, like, Shinkanger versus Goanger and the three Masked Rider movies from last winter.
We can hope.
Yeah, right. Hopefully. I'd kind of like to see Begins Night.
I would
too. And also, the conclusion to Decade. Arg. Ghost Sager.
Alright, this week was episode 6. And it's basically Alada's turn for plot development and characterization.
Yes,
we find out
on by Nozomu.
Well, I'm going to only talk about the stuff that matters, so... We find out that Alada has a scar on his arm from his first encounter with Daraputa in the first episode.
Looked pretty infected.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've had big infections. I know what they look like.
Infected with what?
Conversation here.
No, it wasn't infected with conversation, Paladin.
It was infected with rage.
There.
So,
he goes on to fight... Daraputa again, and eventually wins this time, but by the time they have to form Ghost Sagrade and fight the UFO of the week, then he's so overcome by the injury that he actually drops out of his morphed state, and because he's not in control, Gosei Great can't use any of its flying abilities.
Couldn't Pink switch seats with him and fly the thing around?
You'd think so, but then that means they'd have to let Pink be an honest leader-type character.
Look, the last time let a girl drive a giant piece of machinery, we ended up with the Enterprise-D face down in the planet. You just don't want to put him behind the wheel.
Wow. So, basically, you think she should be over in the corner making coffee for everybody else?
Well, you know, maybe not coffee, but, you know, cookies,
tea?
Perhaps. Yeah.
It's apparently what
Have we already had our most sexist show ever?
Can we? Can we start on this one?
Okay, we've had our most racist, our most blasphemous, I think.
Which one was that?
I don't know. But it sounds familiar.
The whole show's presence is kind of blasphemous, really.
Sort of is, yeah. Okay, so we've established that why Pink can't drive the Megazord and make it fly around, so continue on from there.
So, with no other options, they give control to the Landig members, and they make the Megazord run around.
Naturally.
Yeah. And they're just sort of catching up with the main guy, but keep failing. But eventually, apparently Hyde's burning justice is infectious, so same thing happens to them. And we have the Landig
burning justice.
See, the interesting thing here is that while it was Red's focus episode, he didn't get the power up this week.
Right. I thought that was weird, too.
I think it just is another way to prove that he's doing everything wrong.
Yeah.
Since he's getting the focus for a whole episode and still can't generate his header set.
Yeah.
Either that or he's smart enough not to get infected by Hyde's burning justice.
That could be.
Yeah, he is the snake, too, you know. His snake has infected Burning Justice.
Well, that crotch glowing does look kind of inconvenient.
Yeah.
I can understand trying to stay away from it.
Maybe the whole show is like a parable for, like, you know, abstinence or something.
Please, somebody say something else.
The angels come down to protect us.
Hey, Mickey.
Yes?
Microphone.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I think you're better now.
Hello?
Yeah, I was right.
Okay, there we go.
Now we have the Landig brothers.
I was actually kind of disappointed by their combination with Gosei Great. Because, it did grow, like, treaded roller skates. I was kind of hoping for, like, roller blades.
Like Megatron?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a pirate hat for your first upgrade, I don't think roller blades are out of the question for the next one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that might just be me.
Yeah, it's just not like they could have done something more with the Landig set. There's no real unifying theme behind it, it seems.
Maybe they could have done what they've done in a few past versions with a soccer ball theme. You know, the soccer ball kick finisher.
I might have liked seeing that.
It seems like an absurdly popular thing to do.
Yeah, well soccer
is
very
Japan
popular.
Is Japan big into soccer? Yes,
what was that last part?
Is Japan big into soccer? I don't know.
Everyone's big into soccer except for the United States.
Well, that's because we have some sense.
Well, I don't know. If soccer is more like Shaolin soccer, then yeah, I'd be into it. But
Now, to be fair, I don't really care for American football either. Because it just doesn't make any sense. What with all the arbitrary numbering and everything?
Well, we're nerds, though. Aren't we into arbitrary numbering?
I'm not.
Okay, well.
I don't know what your problem is. But yes, the Landic brother thing.
Yeah. Landic brothers do not play soccer, apparently.
No.
You will just have to make do with the kick that pierces the heavens.
Could have done without that, too.
Pierces the heavens straight into their bedrooms. They should be careful.
Infectious burning justice. Well, I guess it just proved that Hyde is the most awesome member of the team because he got the pirate hat option.
Yes.
Hyde and seems to kick most of my ass anyway.
Yeah, let's just hope it continues on.
Let's hope Nosmo doesn't ruin him.
If his first upgrade thing is a pirate hat, just think where it can go from there.
Only to improve on pirate hat.
I don't know how you improve on pirate hat, but I hope they find a way.
Maybe they will replace the yellow's mecha with a peg leg.
That would be good.
Or put the parrot on his shoulder.
Well, see, that could be a whole set. One that becomes a peg leg, another that becomes a hook for the left hand, and the other one sits on the shoulder as a parrot.
Well, we've already got a bird head for one of the shoulders. Or two of them, really. I mean...
Well, yeah, but it all has to be in one set.
And it has to be an actual parrot head. Or a full parrot.
So how much longer do you think before they start mixing and matching heads in the show?
Won't that spread the infectious burning justice more quickly?
It certainly will. There'll be infectious burning justice all over those heads.
Wow.
I wonder how far I can push this before I have to cut stuff out.
Wow. Okay, I think we're done with that now.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, why don't we go ahead and go to break? Yeah, why don't we go ahead and cut to a break?
Yeah, let's cut here. Okay. I need my penicillin.
Try to regain some composure here. And we'll come back with some light speed rescue in a minute.
They'll have penicillin.
Hello, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I am also on one of our other podcasts, which is Fanboy Versus, and I really think you should check it out. Fanboy Versus is our comic book podcast, and each week we bring you lots of fun news and information around the comic book world. It is hosted by JD Church and features Ender, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and of course, me, Brian Kilby.
And cry for justice. Dreadful. So that one I did try to read, and it's just abominable. Character, you know, the first issue alone, every two pages, a character literally drops to their knees, throws their hands up to their heavens, and just cries, "Justice!"
I wish I was joking.
Check it out at tfradio.net. Comes out weekly. If you like comic books, you'll love Fanboy Versus. And Fanboy Versus is brought to you by Value Mags. Check them out at tfradio.net/comics.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
It Figures is now FigureReviews.com. Our name has changed, but our commitment to quality stays the same. FigureReviews.com will continue to bring you the best toy photography and in-depth reviews online. Toy reviews. Photos. Awesome. FigureReviews.com.
Okay, now that we've rid ourselves of the infectious burning justice, let's go ahead and talk about a series that I at least enjoyed. I don't know about any of these other people, but I don't really care either. Lightspeed Rescue.
So you don't care that I liked it too?
Lightspeed Rescue, the first
doesn't really
thing,
do anything for me, Mickey, no.
When you watch it, you will get the theme stuck in your head.
Yes.
It has some of the best music they've ever done, I think.
Well, okay, go on thinking that.
Well, the best non-Ron Wasterman music.
Well, okay, go on thinking that.
It's got a dangerously infectious theme song.
I guess it's simple enough that it's real easy to get stuck in your head. I wouldn't go so far that it's my favorite, though. See, that should be a topic for 1 week. You
know, for that.
Just, you know, cool theme songs. It'd be a short topic.
We'd find a way to stretch it out.
Well, yeah, I'd insert clips in between each discussion.
Yeah.
But for our topic this week...
Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah. Although we've all watched various parts of Lightspeed Rescue, some of us much more than others, Fort Max, I specifically assigned out episode 2 for the purposes of this conversation because, well, heck, I just really like it.
You like that episode?
Zordberg,
episode's boring. You know. Nothing happens in it aside from, you know, the entire city falling down in a big fireball.
Well, see, that's one of the important points of that episode. It featured so much city destruction that after September 11th, they had to cut it out from the rerun rotation. And, I mean, it's understandable why they did that, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. But see, it's unfortunate, though, because that's where they introduced the Zords.
Yeah, that is kind of a quandary, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I'm not really looking for a whole lot of plot, necessarily, but if there's real cool Zord action, I'm set.
Yeah.
And there's some really good Zord work in the episode.
Yeah, that episode, I think, has the most impressive model footage of the entire franchise.
The combination for the Lightspeed Megazord is really, really nice looking.
And it actually, it doesn't involve any components hovering anywhere except for the flyer, which is made
to fly.
There's no magical floating pieces.
Off landing vehicle in the first place.
Right, they saved the magic floating pieces for the Super Train Megazord.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second.
Right.
Of course, with that one, it's not as much as it just mysteriously starts floating as it speeds off a giant ramp.
And doesn't fall back down.
And somehow the momentum keeps it airborne enough to slam all the pieces together in another way.
It's going faster than a passenger jet.
Faster than a passenger jet over a city.
Yes.
I understand they have to slow down if they're low over a city like that. That passenger jet probably had just taken off, like the train.
And also, look how high the giant ramp is, so...
Yeah, that's a good 50
stories
right there.
That is my favorite Zord entrance out of anything. Can you imagine being a pedestrian on the street and seeing this giant 50-story tall ramp raise out of the ground? And then this train just jumps off of it over your head?
Well, now...
What's even more impressive is that they have the entire suspension bridge set up to rotate, and that the train goes on a road.
Yeah, right next to your car, parked on the side.
Well, we talked a little bit about this last week, too.
Going down the cement road on the bridge, and also later going down another cement road that has a sharp curve.
Does it pass by
a cement pond there, Fort Max?
It can do that because it's a super train. It's not a regular train.
And then, of course, it later starts out running rail spike.
Yeah, actually, it does, now that you mention it.
It does.
The Super Train Megazord is awesome.
Yes.
It's big,
huge.
Too. But,
I really wish I had bought it.
You should have.
The toy isn't that great. It's just tall.
Well, yeah, but it's what it represents is awesome.
And
it's
also
an awesome Megazord.
And you also can store the other Zords in it, so...
Absolutely.
But, let's talk about the Rescue Lightspeed Megazord a little bit more.
That was a really solid toy.
Yeah.
I got to play with that Toys R Us.
It's not that solid.
Well, I mean, I played that Toys R Us, and I thought it was very well made, I thought, at least.
It has this problem with the hip connectors. It's like the red and green Zords just can't stay attached to the other three.
Never had that problem.
Maybe yours is defective, Paladin.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Now, is yours the Japanese or the American one?
I believe it's the American.
Huh.
Is there any particular difference between the two?
Paint, probably.
Probably.
I know the American versions of the did have die cast.
Up to a point, yeah. I think through Wild Force.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, yeah, Lightspeed Rescue had die-cast. I don't know, I don't think ones prior to Lightspeed, well, let's see, we had some in...
Well, regardless of die-cast, most of the designs in that series were pretty good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It has two of my all-time favorites.
Which ones?
Super Train and the redundantly named Omega Megazord.
It's only redundant if you pay attention to the first Mega in Omega.
The Omega Megazord had an oddly flat face.
Yeah. Well, it did poof out.
Well, the helmet did.
Yeah.
The face was still pretty recessed.
Yeah. But while three of the Zords in the show were really good, it had one that was kind of a dud. The Max Solar Zord.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, the deluxe version, yes. I understand the small transforming one was actually half decent.
It's the only Megazord design ever approved by Al Gore.
The Max Solar Zord suffered from having to break up into form armor for the Lightspeed Megazord.
Paladin, what were you going to say?
It's the only Megazord design ever approved by Al Gore. Because it's solar powered.
Right.
See, what I like, very efficient solar cells.
What I liked was that in the show, shortly after the Max Solar Zord's introduction, the villains started making a dome of darkness over the battlefield so they could not use the solar-powered collectors anymore. That was smart.
Yeah.
The sad thing about the Solar Megazord is that the combined form didn't look very good, so all concessions they made for the regular one didn't really matter because the big one looked worse.
It's not one of the better combination designs.
No.
They probably would have done better trying to turn the Super Train Megazord into armor for the Lightspeed Megazord.
But then that would have had to compromise the awesomeness of the Super Train.
You can't compromise that awesomeness.
Well, it would have had to compromise the awesomeness of the Lightspeed Megazord.
That's
possible. That one doesn't have much awesomeness to compromise.
Maybe yours doesn't.
Well, regardless of that flaw on mine, I'd still say it's just a fairly mediocre design.
I guess it's more notable for how it's portrayed in the show, which is that it combines using completely physically possible means.
Yeah. Well, it's physically
possible. Well, breaking fewer laws of physics than every other series, at least.
It tries.
There's no magnetic lightning involved.
No, there's what look like mechanical connectors and towing cables. The only time it gets a little ridiculous is when the fire truck occasionally extends the arms out in fire truck mode and grabs onto the other three pieces and lifts itself up on top.
That doesn't happen too often.
That's a little goofy looking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I just realized for the first time looking at Super Train Megazord?
What's that?
His face looks exactly like Optimus Prime. How have I never seen that?
He looks like Robots in Disguise Optimus Prime.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting because the person who did the voice for Robots in Disguise Optimus Prime was also in Lightspeed Rescue.
As who?
As the main villain, Diabolico.
That's right, Neil Kaplan.
This is madness.
Yes.
We tried to get an interview for him for Radio Free Cybertron, but he would never play along.
Oh.
His loss.
Neil Kaplan wouldn't play along?
Well, we haven't done an interview with him yet.
No, I know it's that Neil Kaplan is the guy who will always has an interview on Transformer fan sites every other month, it seems.
Yeah, I know. We're getting kind of insulted. but anyway, Neil Kaplan was also various voices in Digimon too.
And
just like
in...
everyone else in Robots in Disguise.
Well,
and
yeah, because you know it's a
too.
Common production crew.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Axelrod, who was Lord Zedd's voice, was also in Robots in Disguise and Digimon.
Mm-hmm. Does Axelrod have Burning Justice?
I don't think so.
Oh.
He's Lord Zedd.
So, Lightspeed Rescue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the characters are pretty bland, I think.
Say what?
I think the characters for the series are mostly uninteresting.
Mostly,
Green Ranger was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Green Ranger seemed to absorb all the characterization points for all the other characters.
Yeah.
Which, it seems to be a trend they picked up on from Lost Galaxy, since that Green Ranger was also more interesting than the other Rangers.
I don't know if some marketing test group was focusing back on the original series and saying, well, Green Ranger is the most popular because that's because kids like green.
I think it's more that it just happened by accident in Lost Galaxy, and they tried to do it again for Lightspeed Rescue.
Ah.
Right.
And it worked. at least by comparison, like Feed Green Ranger was much more interesting than everybody else.
Now, of course, one thing that was that I saw kind of obvious is, of course, there are a couple episodes where Saban dug out the Silver Ranger's Galactic Rover from in space and gave, and it was used as Vipra's vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, I find pretty funny, considering that it was only in space in the first place to sell a toy that was recycled from the series previous to Zoo Ranger, Jetman.
Yeah, Jetman was before. Jetman.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to milk that toy.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and it makes sense that they would recycle the vehicle they designed, because I'm sure that was quite an investment for them.
What did y'all think of the costumes for Lightspeed Rescue?
They were good.
They were okay.
Eh.
I like the morphing sequence of the layer wrapping.
Now, also another thing that is pretty obvious. There's an episode that involves the Zords having to stop rescue a out of control space shuttle. And that the prop used in the GoGo 5 footage looks essentially like a normal shuttle with the fins bent upwards somewhat. Saban goes ahead and we want to go ahead and show footage of it launching. So they dig out the Astro
Mega
Ranger launching from the spaceship launching from the launch pad.
Yeah.
So the spaceship changes shape in space.
Yes.
When they could have gone with the much closer to the model and equally we're not having to pay anyone NASA archive footage.
Well, whatever.
But apparently
it could have been worse. They could have used the sequence from In Space where the hangar is blowing up around the shuttle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least they didn't do that.
Yeah.
That would have been bad.
Would have been kind of awesome, actually.
That's how you launch a shuttle.
Though, of course,
that's the Bruce Kalish method of launching a space shuttle.
Yeah. Now, of course, for the American-made footage, it's surprisingly high production values.
Yeah, it's pretty good quality.
There are areas, especially where with footage that involves the Titanium Ranger, where if it weren't for seeing American actors in the scenes, and of course it being having the Titanium Ranger in it, and it not being the same type of colors as the Japanese footage, where you would almost swear that it was that Toei had shot a bunch of Titanium Ranger footage. It's that good. Toei has Sentai type pyrotechnics, where you actually have fires and stuff going on in the sets. In scenes set in dark warehouses with the type of lighting you usually see in the Sentai footage.
Well, there goes all our listeners.
Yeah. But still, it's amazingly good. The suits are high quality. And you can tell that's where most of the budget went.
Yeah, it's not like when they tried to recreate the Green Ranger's costume.
And failed.
Yeah, and you could easily tell which was which. When I watched Godspeed Rescue...
Quilted Shield... That's all I'm going to say.
When I watched Lightspeed Rescue, I had no idea the Titanium Ranger was American creation. I thought it was just part of the show that's ported over.
And the weapons created for him look to be in the same overall general theme, except with the slight Max Solar Zord twist. And the cockpit for the Max Solar Zord is amazing.
Yeah.
Whereas the other American-made cockpits are pretty bland.
I like the Shogun Megazord cockpit. Because they did have the Shogun Megazord face plastered on the front of the set.
I'm pretty sure that was the same. That was also the Ninja Megazord cockpit.
It probably was, but it showed up with the Shogun Megazord first.
No.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because the Ninja Megazord was around.
But for the first half of season 3, they did not have any Megazord cockpit footage. Actually, they didn't have any Zord cockpit footage for a while.
Yeah.
I assume while they were building sets.
So how did they... I don't remember those episodes terribly well. How did they film the fight scenes? They just do voiceovers over the Zords?
No, they just did Zords.
So it was just quiet? There's no talking?
Unless the monster said something, yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of like if you remember in Season 2, on the odd occasion where just the Red Dragon Thunder Zord was fighting, you know, there was no talking then either.
Well, there you would see some shots of the cockpit, which of course was the same set as the Red Dragon as the Thunder
Dragon
cockpit.
It only happened once. In
yeah,
the
but
episode
of course
with the Polaroid monster.
Yeah. Now, of course, that being the case, that's also what Die Ranger did because
right
the same cockpit there.
Of course, in Die Ranger, they didn't crop the footage down.
Right.
Right.
But still, it was the exact same cockpit for those.
But getting back onto what we were actually talking about, yes, the Max Solar Zord cockpit was pretty cool looking. It was a really nice design.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even by Saban production standards.
But yeah, even by Sentai design standards, the Max Solar Zord cockpit is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording the segment. And Lightspeed Rescue appeared to have quite a budget to draw from.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they kind of burned it all up on Titanium Ranger material.
It was worth it, though.
As evidenced by the really nice Titanium Ranger suit and the special effects and then the Max Solar Zord cockpit.
Yeah.
That was kind of the end of the budget, though.
That's why they had to send him away.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, for everything they did in the Titanium Ranger's debut story arc, you know, it was one less thing they could do later on with him.
Yeah, but yeah. Still, you have to admit, it was worth it.
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, I think only about half of the Titanium Ranger's introductory story arc is actually good. And, you know, the rest just seems kind of like a waste of time looking back on it.
Yeah. But
well,
still,
waste of time and resources.
Yes, but still, when you actually have the Titanium Ranger in action, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they did a pretty good job of that, and I have to give them some respect for the story they were trying to tell with all of those episodes that I don't necessarily like all of. You know, they were doing some pretty heavy stuff with that, like the Cobra tattoo that would eventually kill him if he kept morphing.
Yeah,
and they actually used the word kill.
Right.
Which you don't see in Power Rangers.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a big plus for them.
Yeah, I mean, they even were using the word killed in reference to Ryan as a little kid being killed in a car crash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's heavy stuff compared to normal Power Rangers. I guess that was about the start where they were trying to, like, push the edge a little bit more.
And I, for one, am glad they did.
Yeah, because it gave us Time Force the next year.
Well, we would have got that regardless.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, just
we got the writing in Time Force.
Yeah.
The footage, either way, we got the writing in Time Force.
Well, yes, I know what he meant, but I'm still gonna make fun of how he says it.
Well, I'm gonna make fun of you sounding like you didn't get it.
Well, I'm gonna find some way to make fun of you that's not even related to what's going on right now.
Oh.
Is the situation normal?
Pretty much.
How's that going for you?
Well, we just have to sit and exposit it a little bit every now and then, you know, just so everybody knows what's going on. I mean, we could preface that whole previous conversation with previously on Superhero Time, and then you'd be all caught up.
Yeah.
So,
XD, yes. This show is based on GoGo 5, right?
5.
Right. I watched the first episode of that just to 5. Compare things.
Yeah, see,
how do
I'm going to do... What I'm gonna do when I go back and edit this is every time you say go go V, I'm gonna dub over it with 5.
doing your best, obviously not Jason David Frank, no way impression.
Man, we're gonna have so much fun dissecting green with evil for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, the big difference in the go go V source material
5
is that the Rangers in this team are siblings.
And it lacks the awesome Titanium Ranger.
Yeah.
Also, Yellow's a dude again.
Yeah. They do that all the time, though.
Yeah, they did in Lost Galaxy also.
Of course, it stood out quite a bit in Lost Galaxy.
Okay, one at a time? Because I'm sure you all had equally valid things to say.
Well, the Yellow being a dude in the Sentai source footage stood out quite a bit, specifically for Lost Galaxy.
Well, yes.
or rather didn't stand out.
Well, I guess it depends on where you're looking.
Well, no, I'm saying that, no, I'm saying the source footage lack of standing out.
Again, I think it depends where you're looking.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mickey gets that joke.
A good choice for a male ranger. Maybe it's a cultural thing where yellow is more masculine in Japan, but I don't know. I just don't buy it.
All right. The point I was going to try to make is that.
Yes, the point you would eventually get to is.
In GoGo V, the Rangers also have this little helper robot, kind of like Bomper from GoAnger.
Yes. Yeah.
Originally supplied them with their morphers and communications regarding their mecha.
Was he an irritating little robot, or was he a cool robot like Bomper?
I would probably lean towards irritating.
But you could also lean toward Bomper being irritating.
I won't argue with anyone who wants to think that, but I like Bomper.
Just as long as you can understand where someone might be coming from with that point of view, that's fine.
I could easily understand, but I just, you know, different opinion, that's all.
That's fine.
And there was one mecha that got released in Japan, but even though we saw it in the footage here, it didn't come out in America.
What?
The final design for the series
Project
was called...
Project Sigma.
Yes.
The Black Redeco.
Life Force Megazord.
Megazord.
Yeah, it was just a black recolor. I mean, not a gloss.
It
wasn't a new design.
No.
Okay, well then I'm less than...
Yeah, it's not like it's not like us not getting the Transwarp Megazord.
Or Flashpoint. Yeah. Or Centaurus Wolf Megazord.
Or even the Elephant.
Yeah.
I think Lightspeed Rescue may have the record for most merchandise shoehorned into the show.
What do you mean, like guns and roleplay stuff? Or
no, first they had a fleet of cycles for all the Rangers.
Which were from GoGo 5.
Well, they had one design in GoGo 5. They just copied and switched the color formats around.
Oh, there was only one of them in GoGo 5?
Yeah.
Well, then it wasn't very 5, was it?
It was very V, though.
Just the one with the sidecar?
Just the sidecar one, yeah. And then they also had the Mobile Armor Vehicle, which is a flying battle platform of some kind.
In a name that they borrowed from Gundam.
Yeah.
Which I always found amusing. Right. What?
Yeah, borrowed, right.
Well, it is borrowed because both of them are Bandai properties. You know, it's the same way Hasbro has used the word Fusors in two different lines, but they're not stealing it from themselves.
Right. What was the other line?
What?
What was the other line? I don't know about this.
Zoids.
Ah, okay.
And after that, they had the year's Battleizer, the Trans Armor Cycle.
Yes, because you get such a combat boost from wearing a motorcycle.
Of course.
It worked in Bubblegum Crisis.
And in RoboTech.
It's surprisingly less practical in a physical situation.
Well, it works for Master Rider XL.
However, he transforms into a motorcycle. That's different.
Completely different, obviously.
Yes.
Well, yes, somebody gets to ride him.
With Burning Justice.
But the Trans Armor Cycle's finisher is kind of goofy.
That's charitable.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you shoot off the two motorcycle wheels, and they go and basically run over the monster.
You're killing them with skid marks.
Yeah.
But you're also family of Burning Justice.
That would be Burnout Justice, actually.
And last but not least for the merchandising, we had the Mega Battles. Special armor add-ons for just... blue and green.
Which was unusual, because usually red's the only one to get an upgrade like that.
Yeah.
Unless it's in the Sentai footage.
Yeah. All of this was just stuff for the American footage.
But one important thing about the Mega Battles is that the episode that introduced them had, like, the most awesome non-stock morphing sequence.
Yes, definitely that.
Where they basically use the same morphing effect for the stock footage, but they superimpose it over just the footage of the scene and have the characters jump through where it would be.
And it worked amazingly well.
Yes, it was perfect. You know, it was the best on-location morphing probably ever done.
Yeah.
Of course, the next time they had to morph on location, they just did, like, the sparkly lights and puff of smoke thing.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
disappointing. What, Fort Max?
Well, actually, I haven't seen that episode. That's not one of the ones that I've watched over the past week or two, but...
Well, the episode is conveniently titled The Mighty Mega Battles, I think.
Yeah, so now, no, I would... What did it have the Titanium Ranger is what I was wondering.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
They usually didn't have the Titanium Ranger, so...
After what, his first five or so they got him out?
Something like that. Six, seven...
Oh, here we go. Thanks for the link.
Wait, Mickey? Hey!
Okay.
Because they had standards, that's why.
What?
Before Buzz Boy started up, he asked why they didn't replace him with a ball of light.
Yes. That...
And that's my answer. They still had standards then.
Ouch.
Well, that was before Disney took over.
And Kalish, so.
Well, it's all about the budget. It's amazing they had the budget to make two more power suits, considering.
I'm kind of surprised at the weapons they chose for those suits. You have a giant pizza cutter and Mr. Freeze's gun.
Well, what would you choose?
I don't know. Maybe something with more explosives?
Maybe something more rescue-oriented?
If you look closely, after the first time they transformed the Mega Battle armor, Green's armor is on fire. You can actually see the flames on it.
You can actually see the Burning Justice.
It caught on fire a little bit from the special effects explosion they put in.
Yeah, it would have been better than a giant saw blade. Is like giant jaws of life.
Well, they kind of did that the year before with Lost Galaxy's Battleizer.
Yeah, but it would make more sense in a rescue-themed show, though.
Yeah, probably.
The thing I liked about Lost Galaxy's Battleizer, and by like I mean completely can't figure out, is that it did not even share a color in common with the Red Ranger. Just this giant silver backpack with claws.
Yeah, it wasn't tied in.
And overshoes, too.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to get your shoes dirty.
Okay, we're kind of running long here, so is there anything else you would like to talk about from Lightspeed Rescue, and only Lightspeed Rescue?
I really wish I'd bought those Zords when I had the chance.
I'm going to enjoy owning the Zords even more now that I know someone here doesn't have them.
I kind of wish I would have been able to get the Thermoblaster toy.
It's just a minor thing, but I like the symbol for Lightspeed Rescue, the three-pointed star overlaid on itself upside down.
It's simple.
It's simple, but it just looks nice. It was well made. And
I didn't say simple was a bad thing.
Well, yeah. It's on the buckles, it's on the Zords, it just works well.
It's effective.
Yes.
You know, one of the dumb things about the Zords, in the show I mean, is that at one point they had Aero Rescue 3 carrying the other four Zords in this giant container. Just flying along, no problem. That always seemed kind of weird to me.
It's a powerful helicopter.
It's not even a helicopter, it's a...
Hovercraft.
Well, whatever. It's powerful. That's the important part of my sentence there.
Of course, that was after Diabolico blasted a hole through the middle of the super-trained Megazord, so they couldn't really transport the Zords in that anymore.
Yeah.
And I recall that episode had a lot of building damage, too, but they didn't cut that out of the reruns. Go figure.
Yep.
I guess they didn't pay too much attention. They just happened to see that one episode they had and figured out it's probably the only one. We'll just cut that out.
Well, maybe it's because in episode 2, there were actually people trapped in one of the buildings about to fall down.
Yeah, maybe they figured that was too relatable to actual peril.
But as it happens, there seem to only be three people trapped in that whole big skyscraper.
But most of those buildings in Power Ranger cities are empty anyway.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that last week with the abandoned building districts and everything and the high insurance premiums.
Yeah.
They just film in Detroit.
Hey! No, wait, he's right. That city's a shithole.
At least it's not Flint.
What?
No, it's about the same, really.
Has it gotten that bad now? Jesus.
Yes. I'm going to guess that's about all we've got this week.
We could talk more about how ridiculous the Super Train Megazord launch is.
I could talk about that all day. We could do a whole episode just on how much I love that opening sequence, Super Train.
You talked about how freaked out the pedestrians must be to watch the panels on the street flip up and everything. I'm thinking more about, what about people walking on that part of the street?
Just get flung off into the sky.
Well, actually, with that, actually with that, it's regular tracks lift. It's parallel tracks lifting up. up into the sky, but there are street sections that just fold up out of the way.
No, wait.
Right, okay. The street is covering the super train track and the ramp that extends up.
We're forgetting about something here, though. This is a train. And what prevents pedestrians from getting on train tracks? Signals. There's little arms that cross down that keep everyone safe.
Yeah, but, you know, those sections of the street that open up so the ramp can lift have to be, like, 200 feet wide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, got little signals there for them, little tiny ones. You just can't see them in the miniatures.
But what I'm saying is there could be people out in the middle of those, you know. Signals aren't going to help them. And, you know, when that train's coming barreling down, they can't exactly wait for people to get out of the way.
Also, the bridge, you wind up with, you're suddenly just about to cross over to wherever it goes to, and suddenly there's no road in front of you.
Yeah, sorry if you're going somewhere.
Well, again, I will point to Ninja Storm and the buildings retracting down into the ground, so there's room for the giant mammoth Zord to roll through the city.
That was good city planning right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much the ultimate extension of this. And the thing that I keep wondering about is, how do these organizations, especially in, like, Ninja Storm, where it's just the six people in the ninja school, arrange for all of this to happen?
Lightspeed Rescue, you could see how they arrange for it to happen, considering it's part of the friggin' military.
Right.
Well, in Ninja Storm, they're ninjas. They did it when no one was looking.
So that was part of the training for all the ninja students to go and install dodgy machinery underneath the city?
Yes. Ninja contracting.
Ninja consultants.
Okay, so to wrap up the show.
Lightspeed Rescue is awesome. That's enough.
Yes.
It was definitely one of the good series.
As long as you don't expect characterization.
Yeah.
Which who really does?
And Green with Evil is this Saturday.
Yes, Green with Evil starts on Power Rangers Remastered this Saturday, and I fully intend to painfully dissect every episode of it.
Green with Evil is when I start caring about the first season of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Sure. So anyway, our topic for next week will be the music of Power Rangers. I cannot even begin to imagine what a train wreck that's going to be.
It'll be a super train wreck. But I'm
And of course, we'll be dissecting Green with Evil Part 1. Okay, so thanks for listening. Check us out at tfradio.net and follow us on Twitter at tfradio. I'm sure there's some good reason to do it, but heck if I can think of it right now. And we'll be back at you again next week.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.